As I was sitting with this passage in reflection and prayer a few weeks back, I decided that it was best understood aloud. In other words, just reading the text was not working. I needed to hear it, just as the people heard it from the lips of Jesus. In fact, the truth is the gospel itself is to be proclaimed. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, they didn't write those gospels to give people a book, because if you remember, nobody had books then, okay? They made one copy, and then it was proclaimed aloud to people. And so the power and the message of the gospel is always best done by being heard. Why I sometimes get uncomfortable with people who only read the gospel, okay? And I want to suggest to you, in your prayer, read it out loud so that you hear it as well as see it, okay? Because it wasn't given to us to be seen. So with this in mind, I was sitting there and I decided to read it out loud. When I read it, with a long pause between the first part about Caesar and then came to the second part, something happened to me. I got it, okay? It goes like this: render to Caesar what is Caesar, and to God what is God's. I think that's how they heard it. I really believe that's how Jesus said this to them. He got them in for way too long, people who want to take an easy way out of what's being proposed here, take the words out of context to kind of justify a two-kingdom theology that has life neatly divided into two separate autonomous realms, the secular and the religious. Or worse, to justify unswerving obedience to secular authority with that slogan, "My country, right or wrong." You've heard that. Really? Right or wrong? Really? I'd like to say, after digging into the meat of these verses, we need to think about that. Is there anything that doesn't belong to God? When that question begins to be raised, we begin to move into the heart of what Jesus means here. There's hardly been a time in history when there was no clash between Caesar and what God wants, between what Caesar asks and what God asks. And the clash is usually over moral issues. In our times, the rapidly increasing technology and a weakening of faith life leaves little room for God in the scheme of things. And so we're facing more and more ethical issues where the law of God conflicts with the law of the land or the civil law. We who render to God what is God's recognize that what is legal is not always what is moral. And right at this point, the voice of Jesus must ring out clearly and loudly. Jesus never intended to make God and Caesar equals in the loyalty of hearts. Our service, our dues, belong to God. God is alone God. We heard that in that first reading just now. There is no other God. God commands the first and the best of us. Even when committed to public service, Caesar isn't a match for God. Behind all of this, there is that question of authority, which has been stirring in the Gospels for the last 3 weeks. That's why these scribes and Pharisees and now their own enemies, the Herodians, band together. They are really troubled and troubling over the authority of Jesus. The question is, who speaks to us with real authority? I want to suggest it isn't Caesar. It's not government, nor any political party. In the end, as far as I'm concerned, in my opinion, there isn't any difference between them. Behind all the talk and all the noise these days, they all offer the same thing: money, power, nationalism, and entertainment. One version offers this through lower taxes and more prosperity, national security, and power. The other, enlightened egotism, a narcissistic myth that we've earned everything and the poor of this world have no claim on us. With the other side appealing to unbounded self-indulgence, where individualistic choice trumps every value and every good imaginable. All that talk about rights has nothing to do with the real value of people and humanity. It's all a lot of noise about special interests demanding satisfaction. So one group jabbers on about morality and doing the right thing, all the while there's this numbing silence about justice and discipline and sacrifice. There's any thought about that sacrifice stuff, it's that somebody else should do it. There is here, you see, no neat and easy solution to the question of church and state relations. A legitimate state has rights and good citizens respect them. But the gospel has given us a principle, however, that leads us to think about value and make choices that are in the common good, not the good of some select few or some special interests. The common good is what matters. This 22nd chapter of Matthew's gospel ends with a pronouncement of the greatest of all commandments. You're going to hear it next week. Loving God with one's whole heart, mind, and soul. Why don't you prepare for next week by reading that passage? And you know what? Read it out loud. What is the best commandment? It says, love God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul. Pause. And your neighbor as yourself. Get it? It comes alive. This is the living word of God. So read it next week. Read this one again with the same pause and the emphasis on that second part. For you see, humans, not coins, bear the image of God. And no edict and no law and no president and no king or Congress can absolve followers of Jesus from this mandate to love God and to see God in one's neighbor.